looking for Shabbos.
Okay. Ready to go. Hi, good evening. Today ushers in Chodesh Elul. And everyone knows that Elul is all about tshuva. Right? But I want to understand what Elul is about as opposed to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There are like 10 days that are called Aseres Yemei Tshuva per se, which is actually very well sourced and spoken about openly in the Gemara. Dirshu Hashem b'imotzei lo asar yamim sheben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Aseres Yemei Tshuva is, you know, Talmudic. You know, it seems that Elul is more midrashic. It's got to be something different because it should be 40 days of tshuva, 30 of Elul and the 10 of... But obviously there's got to be a difference that we're going to try to understand. But one thing that clearly links Elul with Yom Kippur, as you know, it's the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the second luchas. Right? The first luchas broke on Shavuos or B'Tammuz, because they did the set Chet HaEgel. And on Rosh Chodesh, Elul is when Moshe Rabbeinu was invited back up to Shemayim to get the second luchas, and he came down on Yom Kippur, and that's how Yom Kippur got instituted forever after to be a day of forgiveness, because we reconciled with God, we got the second luchas on that day. So in that way, Elul is connected to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and that whole process. It makes up the entirety of the 40 days, so it's a little bit different, which we have to understand how, but it's also connected. And the way that's connected has to do with the idea of getting the second luchos. So let's talk about the second luchos. It should have been a one-day trip. Like, he had already learned the Torah, 40 days and 40 nights the first time. The day after Shavuos, he went up for 40 days and 40 nights, learned, the entire Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. That's how the Medrash says he knew. How do you know he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights? Sun don't shine up there. So the Medrash says that he counted how many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu alternated teaching him Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So he counted that, 40 times, Torah Shebechtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's how he knew it was day, Torah Shebechtav, nighttime, is when he learned Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's how he knew to tell that it was 40 days and 40 nights. And that's one of the sources, that Medrash is one of the sources of what the Mekubalim say, that one should not learn Torah Shebechtav at night. Night is the time of Torah Shebaal Peh. There's it's Al Pi Kabbalah. Interestingly enough, when you move into a new house, you should do a Chanukah Sabayis. And so the Chidah wrote a whole pamphlet. A person should say, by his Chanukah Sabayis party. With the food, it goes easier. You can munch, as you say. And it's a lot. But interestingly enough, he writes in the Hakdama, you'll see that he collated anything that talks about bias from Mishnayos, from Gemara, from Zohar. I made a whole thing, all different to have to do with bias. And you'll notice I did not bring anything from Torah Shebechtav, because most people do these parties at nighttime after they get home from work, your Chanukah Sabayis party, and I want to be very nizer in the Azhara of the Ari not to learn Torah Shebechtav at night, and therefore all my material on Chanukah Sabayis is all from the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what he writes over there.
After Chatzos, it's okay?
What? Presumably, yeah. Now, I know it's one of the reasons. I mean, there's other reasons also. We don't, we try to not say Tehillim at night, but that after Chatzos, we do say Tehillim. So it's because it's already moving towards morning. Correct. So the first time, I understand, he had to learn the whole Torah. He hadn't been taught it before. He went up to Shemayim, learned the whole Torah, 40 days, 40 nights. That's how he knew it was the 40 days, right? Torah Shebechtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. Now he learned it already, right? So now he's coming to get the second luchas. Why does he have to be up there for 40 days again? It should have been a one-day trip. Psolucha, carve out the luchas, go up there, I'll put the writing on, come back down. Why, there might be many reasons for this, but maybe one reason of why it had to take 40 days and 40 nights a second time. Now, there's another question to ask over here, and that is, this whole luchos thing to begin with. What do you do with luchos? what function do they serve? It's not a, you know, you can't take out, you can't lane from the luchas. They only have, you know, the aseres hadibros. It's not a kosher sefer Torah. You know, it's what are luchos? What do they do? What is their function? So now, you know, and we know, and we have to go deeper in this because this is probably the key to the whole issue, right, is that they ought to understand the obvious difference between the first luchos and the second luchos. They were similar in the fact that they had to go up there for 40 days and 40 nights. So what is the difference between them? That the first luchos says, Valuchos Maise Elokim Hema, Vamichtav Michtav Elokim Chos Luchos, the tablets and the writing tablets were all divine. The stone, right, the luchos, was was Maisa Elokim, right, it's an act of God, right? God created the stones of the first luchos. The second luchos is Psolacha Shnei Luchos Avonim Karishonim. Moshe Rabbeinu, you sculpt two luchos just like the first ones. The second luchos came from earth, and that Psolacha was on Rosh Chodesh Elul. That Moshe Rabbeinu carved those luchas, and then today, when he went up. And by the way, you know, that is one of the stated reasons brought down in the tour as to why we blow shofar, you know, starting today, you know, starting from Rosh Chodesh. Because what happened the first time around by the first luchas? Why did the people make the eagle? Because they miscalculated. Vayaram ki boshesh Moshe res minahar. They thought that 40 days was up. That's why they got confused, and one thing led to another. They started panicking that maybe he died up there, and you know that's why they made the ego as as another way of moving forward. That's what they thought. So as we shouldn't get mixed up, right, and keep track, you know. So we blow the shofar a day, and so the blowing of the shofar reminds you, okay, we blew the shofar yesterday, so today is day two, right? And that's why it keeps helps us, That's one of the reasons brought down in where the minhag came from as to why we blow shofar. We shouldn't make the same mistake we made by the first luchos where we lost count of the days. Okay. So before we get back to all of this, there's something very interesting to look into. We've had this order of laning now for hundreds of years, the way we lane, on the annual cycle. The Rambam already brings in Hilchos Tefillah. You know, once upon a time, he used to finish the Torah once every 3 years. Yeah, but it's already for hundreds of years. It was already ancient by the time of the Rambam, that we're on this annual cycle, that we finish it every year on Simchas Torah. So if we've been doing this for a few hundred years, there can't be a coincidence how things work out, that the first Shabbos in Elul is always, always Parshas Shoftim, like clockwork. Always. First parsha we're going to read in the month of Elul. Re'eh almost always is Shabbos Mevorchim, Elul, with the exception of when it comes out on Rosh Chodesh Elul. First parsha in Elul, always Shoftim. And that's something very interesting to look into. All right, Shoftim is a sister parsha and has a lot of overlap with issues with a parsha that almost sounds the same, Mishpatim, right? The opening of Parshas Mishpatim, Tassim Lifneim, is the mitzvah you have to go in front of Bezdin, Tassim Lifneim, but not Lifnei Goyim, God forbid, not go to secular court. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And we have, a lot of, some of the halachas, like Achrei Rabbah, some of our judiciary laws, and the monetary laws that the Bezdin Paskas by are all Parshas Mishpatim, right? So the second half of those sugyas are in this week's parsha. Shofti Mishoti Tenlecha is again the opens up with the mitzvah of setting up our judicial system, right? But of course it completes the topic by also talking about all our other forms of government. The halachas of a melech are in this week's parsha, and also the authorities of the navi. Right, the mitzvahs I say of Elof Tishbon, the authorities of the Navi, what he can tell you to do, what he can't tell you to do, also in this week's parsha, as I said, all our system of government, and of course, once you're talking about government, one of the things the government does, external affairs, is go to war. The laws of engagement in war is also in this week's parsha, this crosses over because it's within the authority of the king and the Sanhedrin, to take us out to war. As there's how... how this goes. When David HaMelech wanted to go to war, he immediately asked the Sanhedrin, and they asked the Urim V'Tumim, etc., etc. You know, so the Urim V'Tumim is like Nevuah. You know, these one of the authorities of these governmental bodies is the authority to demand that, you know, take us out to war. You know, otherwise, you know, it gives authority to put your life on the line. They have the authority to tell you there's a Muhammad, Din Muhammad, and you have to put your life on the line. So all the laws of government, you know, are in this week's parsha, including the authority of the Sanhedrin. Right? So now something very interesting to note, you know, right after Ma'amad Har Sinai. Right? Of course, what it says, Atem Risev Kimin Hashemayim Dibarti Alechem. I spoke to you from heaven. So, right, when you build a Mizbeach, you know, it's got to be Mizbach Avonim, right, out of stone. Right? And then, you know, you figure that the Torah would continue to talk about now the laws of the Mishkan, because now the Torah came to earth. The divine presence, you know, should rest on earth. Right? But it's not what happens. It starts talking about the Mizbeach, and then there's a break. Eila Mishpat Shatasim Vneim. You know, breaks with Parshas Mishpatim, with, you know, judiciary, all the monetary law. Then there's another account of Matan Torah, you know, it's, you know, a different version of the event, where over there, you know, Vechsu Asokim, Veochlu Vayishtu. And then it goes back to, finally gets to the laws of the construct of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. Why did the Torah go into, immediately after Matan Torah, go into the Dine Mominus, go into monetary law and the issues of the judiciary? You think that's like such a, so mundane, you know, compared to the grand, grand spiritual experience that there was, you know, with the, with Ma'amad Har Sinai. Now, going into the Mishkan makes sense, because that's the closest thing we have. And at the Ramban says that if you take a look, there's parallels between the, you know, the Gilui Shechina that there was in the Mishkan and the laws that not anyone could approach the Mishkan. Kohanim could go further than the Yisraelim, and only the Kohen Gadol, Kohen, that though they parallel the laws of the Hagbola, right, you know, that were put around Har Sinai, like the closest thing to Ma'amad Har Sinai is the Mishkan. Right? But the Torah didn't go directly into Bnei'as HaMishkan. It took a break with, you know, monetary law. We have to understand that. Right? And over here, it's, you can't help but note the parallel, right, that when Moshe Rabbeinu is going up now to get a, as it were, a second manifestation of the Torah, it's the same Torah, but it's going to come down in the form of Luchos Shniyos, so that also opens up with the Parsha of Shoftim, which is the twin Parsha of Parshas Mishpatim. Right? So, to understand a little bit of this, you know, we'll just throw out some Ma'amore Chazal about Dayanim and about Dayanus and about our judiciary system. One is from this week's Parsha. Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof L'man Techev V'Yorashta Sa'oretz. So Rashi brings the Chazal in the Schus of Dayanim, that you're Ma'amid Dayanim, you're going to be Yorish Eretz Yisrael. Right? Setting up, you know, our judiciary system. Right, that is going to be a schus for which we're going to inherit and be able to live and be secure in the land of Israel. What is the connection? There's a Gemara, right? Kol Dayan Shedan Din Emes Lamito Nase Shutuf La Korish Baruch Hu B'Masa Bracious. Any Dayan that meets out a true judgment, you know, Emes Lamito, the Gon explains, is not just it's academically true, right, you know, but also it fits the facts. Like, you know, they got the facts straight. Like, they do, they researched the witnesses. You know, you know, so the facts on the ground are true, and the academia is true. That's MS Lamito. When you know, so you're a partner of God in creation. So you and the Dayan that did this is a partner with God in creation. And then another mamar of Chazal called Dayan Shedanderes Amito, Mashre Shechina B'Yisrael. He causes the divine presence to rest in Klal Yisrael. And with this, we're sort of getting a little bit to the interesting halacha that's alluded to in this week's Parsha, stated almost explicitly at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, Shetosim Sanhedrin Etzel Mizbeach, that the where the grand rabbinical court, you know, the highest court, our Supreme Court, had to sit in Lishkas Hagozis on the Temple Mount. Right? That there's, you know, just like the Dayan, in a merit of his meeting out true judgment, causes the divine presence to rest in Am Yisrael. So you understand, it makes sense that the highest court had to sit on the Temple Mount. And this is, by the way, the special authorities, they're spoken about in this week's parasha. The special authorities of the Beis Din HaGadol, that the Torah gave them honor, that no one's allowed to argue with them. You know, once they voted on something, and something got ratified. So that's the din of Zokein Mamre that we have in this week's parsha. One guy, big Talmud Chacham, and he thinks they're wrong. And he sticks to his guns, and he's not backing down, even after they heard him out, and they still voted him down, he gets executed. Right? After they heard you, they heard what you had to say, and they still voted you down, you got to give in. So now, it's interesting, they only have that authority that it carries the death penalty to argue on them if they're sitting in Har HaBayis. If the Zokein Mamre argues on them when they're not sitting on the Temple Mount, right? He walks. It's called that he's wrong, but he doesn't get the death penalty. Right? Similarly, when the Sanhedrin went into exile 40 years prior to the destruction of the Second Temple, they uprooted, and they went and they sat in a storefront, you know, outside of the Temple Mount. At that time, you know, so besides the fact that anyone who would argue on them would not be put to death, but at not sitting in their place, they lost the authority, you know, for all the courts in the land to, you know, mete out capital punishment. So it's very interesting that the court is only at its full authority, right, and affects the whole judicial system when they sit on the Temple Mount together where the Shekhinah is. And that's very interesting. That, you know, Dionysus goes together with Hashras HaShekhinah, with having the divine presence rests in Am Yisrael. So now to understand all this, and we'll start going full circle. What? Excuse me?
God is in people.
God is, you know, where the Shekhinah is revealed. You know, God is everywhere, but you don't see him everywhere. So you have to see the Beis Din where you see the Shekhinah. Right? They go together. So you understand, you know, that halacha of Tassin Sanhedrin Etzol Mizbeach, right? It reflects that mamra of Chazal called Dain Shetan Dinar Sato, Mashre Shechina B'Yisrael. Right? No, because there were so many gang wars, right? And murder was rampant. So they said, listen, you know, we don't want to be a killer machine. They just left. they voluntarily exiled themselves, you know, to a storefront. This was 40 years before the destruction of the temple. You know, it was, call it what you want. They just couldn't keep control of the situation, so one way to do it is to divest yourself of the authority to be responsible. All right, so that's why it's 40 years before they put themselves in a storefront in Yerushalayim off the Temple Mount. okay, there's, you know, understanding the human condition. The human condition, you know, is something that... you know, animals have it much better than we do. Let's face it. Really, really, right? They don't got to go to work. You know, there's a famous medrash that, you know, laments that me'olam, we never saw a tzvi, we never saw a deer that's a mail courier, and we never saw an ari saba, we never saw a lion that's a porter, that's in the moving business, and we never saw a fox that's a storekeeper, right? You know, that's meaning to show that, you know the lion is the strongest and he's not in the moving business, right? And the tzvi, the deer, is the fastest and he's not a mail courier. And the fox is the slyest and he's not a shopkeeper, he's not a businessman. Showing you that, you know, being smart, right, and being, being smart, being strong, being swift, it's not for the purpose of making money, because these animals have these particular traits even better than we do, and they don't do it for profit, right? They don't do it for commercial gain, right? So lamenting that obviously it's, you know, because of our sins that we have to go to work, right? Which is true. Everyone knows because of the sin of Adam, right? But there's still something to think about, right? That, you know, we're going to go get back to about the fact that we got to go to work because of sin. We're going to talk about that in just a second, that still there's a difference between us and the animals, right? But even prior to that, right, even if not for, let's say, right, Parnassa wouldn't be a problem. Let's just say, right, you still can't live like an animal. You won't survive. man needs clothes. Man can't eat from the ground directly. He can't. Right? He needs clothes. He can't survive out in the open. He needs shelter. And the human condition is as such, you know, man is not a creature of nature that, you know, could live in the great outdoors. He can't. It's an amazing thing. Right? Man can only survive with the use of technology. Right? Technology, I mean, all, you know, including, you know, farming, cooking, you know, clothes making. See, if you don't wouldn't have to go and make money, right, let's say, still, man can't survive in the great outdoors. Something which you have to think about. It's a very unfortunate situation, right? All the other animals, you know, their survival is pretty much, it's natural for them. It's their second nature. And you know, the human beings can't survive that way, right? They're forced to use their minds to survive. See, even, you know, not in, the needs became exponentially more that we have to, we're forced to use our minds to make money also, right? But even so, the human condition is as such that, you know, we have to use our minds. So it's a very interesting medrash that when Adam HaRishon, you know, after he sins, so God's reading him the riot act, you're turning his penalty, you're, you know, kotz v'darta, you're going to grow thorns, and you're going to eat Esav. You're going to eat, you know, whatever grows off the ground. So it says that Adam HaRishon broke out into a sweat and said, Shema ani v'chamori nikshorim le'evus achas. Maybe me and my donkey are going to eat out of the same feed bag. Man, so it's going to, when he heard, b'zeh asapecha tochal lechem niskara daito. When he heard, b'zeh asapecha tochal lechem, by swear your brother eat bread, he actually calmed down. And that, you know, he was relieved. He was relieved to hear that. B'zeh asapecha tochal lechem actually is something which was consoling man. Right? So the Maharal explains in the Nesiv HaAvoda that Adam thought that it went down to the level of an animal. And that's what I mean. Shema ani v'chamori, you know, nikshorim le'evus achas, me and my donkey will eat out of the same feed bag, you know, because you are what you eat. So if I'm eating, you know, like an animal, maybe I'm on the same level as an animal. When he heard, b'zeh asapecha tochalechem, because bread doesn't grow. Bread doesn't grow. Bread is a invention of human technology, human ingenuity. All right, you, because even if the wheat will grow wild, now you think of how grinding it, kneading it, baking it. There's chachma, right? There's wisdom in bread. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Adam, you're going to eat bread, is like that even the food that you're going to eat, you know, for survival, it's going to have intellect in it. And that's the way it is. You know, we can't eat, you know, unprepared food. We can't. You know, the food that we eat, it needs to be prepared. You know, whether it's cleaned, peeled, right, cooked, right, all product of intelligence. And that was what consoled Adam. I'm not an animal. I'm not an animal because there's chokhmah even in, you know, my day-to-day affairs. Because right, man's role is different than the role of the animals, you know, if we are truly to be, you know, better and more than the animals. Well, part of what man's being Betzalel Elokim is, God is the creator, and he set up the laws of nature. Animals just ride that wave of the laws of nature. Right? Of course, you know, created, set these laws and forces in motion. You know, and because of these laws, there's the weather, and then there's agriculture, and all the other laws that, you know, the animals, you know, they just ride that wave. They know how to negotiate and how to, you know, roll with the punches, call it. Right? Man is not supposed to roll with the punches. Now that we can't. You want to live that way, we'll die. Right? We have to be creators, like God is a creator. Right? But there's something deep in that, that our need to be creators, like he is a creator, is for the purpose of having a relationship with him. Right? That how do we create? How do we create? Where do we get technology from? Where do we get technology from? Something amazing to think about. Where does technology come from? We observe the laws of nature, right? We figure them out. And we figure out how to use them. That means that the laws of nature, get this, the laws of nature are not around us. The laws of nature are in us. Meaning, in what way are they in us? They're in our heads, right? Our mind absorbs, you know.
It's a constant.
What?
It's a constant.
What do you mean constant?
It's in there.
We are internalizing the laws of nature, which are God's laws. He lets them. We are internalizing them. They're not just around us, and we negotiate with them, and we juggle, and we roll with the punches that they throw us. The laws of nature are in our head, right? We study them. You know, we mentally absorb them. You know, and therefore we're not just being pushed around by them. We're using them. Right? And it's called that God's handiwork is in us. It's in us, you know, it's in us through being in our minds. Right? And that way we also produce, because we have absorbed the divine intelligence that is the laws of nature. It's not just around us that we have to contend with it. Animals are better contenders than we are. We're not contending. We absorb and we use. And that means we have God's mind inside of our mind. Now, the original goal was it should all be for the Torah, all for the Torah, right? This, you know, we shouldn't have to be distracted, you know, of learning the outer layer of it for the purpose of survival. We know, istako ba'oraisa ubara alma. God looked at the world, right, and looked at the Torah, rather, and from that he made the whole world. Torah is really the original cosmic code of which the laws of nature actually trickle down from it. The original concepts and the original ideas, the primordial concepts that are the laws of nature are based on, really started from the Torah. Now, in Eden, right, when man didn't have to work for a living, right, the la'avdo l'shamra, to work the gargon, so Chazal say, were mitzvahs aseh and mitzvahs los aseh, because survival wasn't the issue. The issue was purely to absorb, you know, with the mind, the greatness of the Creator. Right? You know, but then because we sinned, we fell from that, right? And the Torah was barred from Adam Rishon, was barred from mankind for another 26 generations. And during Adam thought, now I'm like an animal. No difference between me and them. No, there still is a difference, right? B'zeh asapecha tochalechem, you live with intelligence. And it's the Ramchal writes in the Mesillas Yesharim, right? He writes this in Derech Hashem also. It's the glory of man that sets man apart from animal, that he has to live by his intelligence and not by instinct. Because it shows that he's still been chosen to be close to the Creator, to absorb the wisdom of the Creator inside of him, and to live that way. And not to live by an animal that has the forces of nature and the wisdom of the Creator around him, and he just rolls with it. Right, which of course they're much better at rolling with it than we are. We don't make good animals. Right, we survive by actually absorbing the wisdom of the Creator inside of us and harnessing. Right, and that's the glory of man. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it, you know, for the covet of the Adam. They should live by intellect. Shows that, you know, the wisdom of the Creator is not in the world around him. The wisdom of the Creator actually gets absorbed inside of him, and he will live that way. And shows that, you know, the chachma of the Bayre is not around him, it's in him. And now, that mitzias is really, really meant for the higher goal of having God's ultimate wisdom inside of us, which is the Torah. Right? So now, you know, we can leave, you know, it's a very simple idea, you know, that which we call liberty, you know, versus being enslaved. What's the difference between liberty and being enslaved, right? When you're enslaved, you go to work, right? And if you work, you'll survive, right? So now when you're a free man, you also go to work, right? And if you go to work, you'll survive. What's the difference?
Choice,
right. But not just, you know, but now choice, and a function of choice is appreciation of what you're doing, right? You know, when you're enslaved, you know, someone else is pushing you around, right? So whether it makes a difference whether you agree with it or not. Now, what does it mean to be good with it? You know, you're not reconciled with it because someone else is making you do this, right? When you do it by choice, you're totally reconciled, you know, with it, and you know, your mind and heart is in it. And that's the difference between liberty, right, and enslavement, really. It's all in the mind. Often, I mean, it could be sometimes slavery is, you know, terrible conditions, but it could be forms of, you know, of being, you know, enslaved, where the actual conditions are not too terrible at all, but still called enslavement, because I'm being pushed. In liberty, I am self-propelled. I move myself. even though I'm doing like, but it's a whole different experience because the difference of, does it come from my mind or it's being imposed upon me, right? And when it's imposed upon you, it feels like hell, right? And when it's by your own choice, it's heaven, right? You know, go squat and clean for Pesach, you know, when your mother tells you, it's hell. All right, but then the same guy, that same high school jock, he goes to the gym and pumps iron, which is much heavier than Pesach cleaning, and he loves it. All right? Why? Because this, it's not an issue there because it's hard. All right, he pumps a lot more, he works a lot harder pumping the iron. The difference is, this he wants to do, this he doesn't want to do. Right? And so therefore, this he does all sour-faced, and this he does besimcha. So now you got to understand in when God runs the world. Of course, he's running the world in a way that's merciful and optimal. Now, if you understand what's going on, you know, you're integrated with it, you could see Chasdei Hashem everywhere. But if your whole headspace is, you know, into your own things, and you don't care about what God cares about, but God's going to correct things, and he's going to correct the world, you know, to be in accordance with what he wants. That's what we call din. That's what we call dinim. Right, now, dinim really are not any different than chasadim, the Ramchal points out. Because either way, God's doing the same thing. God is not changing his mind. The Ramchal writes in Derech Haetzim. He's always doing the one same thing. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. Akadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't change. Oh, there's chesed and there's din. No. From God's perspective, it's all the same thing. He's always doing the one single agenda of making the world a better place. Right? Making the world a better place is the only thing he's ever doing. Now, of course, sometimes making the world a better place means, you know, excising, you know, things that are bad, and it also means reinforcing what's good. But it's all the same agenda, making the world a better place. So now listen to this chazal that talks about at the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pull the sun out of its sheath. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu motzi chamri nartika, right? Unbelievable rays fill the earth. Tzadikim misrapim ba, v'rishayim nidonim ba. The tzadikim, any tzadik who has any type of ailment, will be healed by those rays. The rishayim are going to be consumed. Same rays at the same time, like tzadik and the rasha, they're tanning on the same beach, right? Separate beaches, right? Now, right? Tanning on the same beach, right? Those rays come out, right? And the tzadik feels great, right? And the rasha, vaporized. Same rays, same time.
It's like laser.
Yeah, but it's affecting.
Laser to save your life, laser
right.
Weaponry.
Right. Because the thing is like this: HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always making the world a better place. Question is, how did you position yourself? Did you position yourself that you know it's beneficial for the world to have you around, right? Or did you position yourself as a Rasha, God forbid? That, you know, the less of you, the better. Right? So it's the same divine energy, which is all about correcting and improving the world. But if you position yourself in a manner that, you know, it's better for the world to not have you around. So the same energy that builds the tzaddik, right, is going to be that which, you know, gets rid of you. Because God is only doing one thing, improving the world. Now, sometimes, you know, set out to make it to a less extreme case, right? When you know what's going on, right? Yeah, this is the Chassidish Sforim talk about all the time, right? Someone smacks you on the back, right? And so now, you know, you don't know whether to run or to turn around and hit him back, right? Or what? But then, you know, you turn or you have enough guts to run. It's your best friend. And he gave you like a friendly, little chop on the back, right? So you laugh, you giggle, right? As opposed to if it was a stranger, you freak out. You don't know how to respond to this act of aggression. Right? So when it's something that you understand and you feel good about because it's coming from your good friend, right? So that same, slap on the back is friendly. Oh, he stroked me. If it's someone that you don't know and you never saw before, it's an act of aggression, even though it's the same slap on the back. Really, the truth is, that's really the difference between, could be very much, is the difference between chasodim and dinim, right? Always a slap on the back. But when you were expecting it and you, you know, understand why, like the bitter medicine you got to swallow, but you know you got to swallow, right? You take it, you know, and life goes on. Or like the workout in the gym, as opposed to what you don't understand and what you're not reconciled with, right? So, you know, that's what hurts. That's what hurts, when you don't understand why, you don't see where it's coming from. And in truth, the real difference between chasodim and dinim is very much perspective, right? Aside from another thing, right? That, you know, it's much easier when you take care of your own problems as opposed to someone else taking care of your problems. The gift of the dayonim, that, you know, that the world really, the whole cosmic law runs ba'omek, in the depth of it, it all runs on din Torah. Din Torah is the cosmic rule. And what we call natural law is natural on the, you know, ultimate level. Where did these natural laws come from? They came from the Torah, and that's why they are natural law, right? They can't, like, repeal and replace the law of gravity, right? No, Obamacare is not the natural law, but, you know, they're just having trouble with it, right? But the right, but there's no hava amina to repeal and replace the law of gravity or any of the laws of physics. It would make life a lot easier, and we can't. It's natural law. It just was is. Why are these natural laws so strong? Because the truth is, they're all legislated in the Torah. For instance, as my Roshiva Zichron Levracha used to say, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, the Marakoshu said, Yikavu Mayim El Mokom Echa V'Teirar Yabasha. Those words in the Torah legislated the law of gravity. Beforehand, water didn't flow to the lowest point to explore. Yeah, so that was so. Those different, as an example, those different Torah made the law of gravity. And it's Chai V'Kayam and Lonetzach, because the Torah is Chai V'Kayam Lonetzach. And it's true, the truth is, it's the truth about all the natural laws. they come from, and they are strong and unchanging, because the Torah that they come from is true and alive and unchanging. The gift of the Dayonim is that Akash says, these laws that I run the universe by, they're going to be in your head, right? And you're going to, you know, you're going to fix reality yourself, right? And this is called that now how God runs the world is not going to be around us, it's going to be in us. And that's what it means. She asked, right, God's everywhere. So what do you mean, the Shekhinah, Shorah, and Yisrael?
Yeah. Shekhinah and God the same thing?
No. Shekhinah is where how God reveals himself, right? Revealed, right? Right, that's a Vishachanti dwells, you know, that's the whole point. You know, God himself is everywhere, but the Shekhinah is not everywhere, even though God is everywhere. Right, make it more correct. Gilui Shekhinah is not everywhere. Even though God is everywhere, and even the Midah called Shekhinah, that divine attribute is everywhere, but Gilui Shekhinah, what's called Shekhinah Shoreh B'Yisrael, that's only by Klal Yisrael. Right? Because, you know, the revelation of the divine, right, is as that, you know, but what does it mean? V'shachanti bitocham, in them, in their midst. That was the revelation of the Torah, that the cosmic rules shouldn't be what's around you, it should be what's in your midst. And that's called V'shachanti bitocham, Shekhinah Shoreh B'Yisrael. And that was produced as a result of Matan Torah. That God's law that he runs the universe by is now the law itself is not just what's around us, it's now inside of us, in our minds and in our hearts. And when the Dayan now paskins al pi din Torah, so one Mamre Chazal says he's Mashre Shekhinah B'Yisrael, another Lashon of Chazal says that, you know, he's Nase Shutfo Shakosh Baruch Hu B'Maase Bereishis, because through meeting out din Torah, which is the natural law, right? As it were, we are creating and fixing reality ourselves. So now God is now inhabiting, you know, his power is inside of us. That's Shekhinah Shoreh B'Yisrael. But this law is what corrects the world. And that's what it means that, you know, it's Nase Shutfo Shakosh Hu B'Maase Bereishis. But now there's another Chazal that says, Im Yesh Din Lamata, Ein Din Yored Milamala. Ein Din Lamata, Din Yored Milamala. If there's no judgment on earth, God be mean the Dayanim, you know, people don't go to Din Torah. People don't go to Din Torah, God forbid, right? And, you know, and from God's perspective, it's called that the world is lawless, right? Because he only cares about his law, the Torah law. You don't go to Din Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I got to correct the world myself, because you guys aren't doing it. I wasn't going to entrust my power to you, and you would do it. So if there would be Din Lamata, and then it would be because everyone understands, and the Dayanim explain, and people get it, right? And when you get it, it's you could appreciate, and it doesn't hurt when you get it, like we explained. But ain din lamata, din yor, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, from the outside, I'm going to have to correct things. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to now correct things, because we're not correcting things ourselves, whenever someone else corrects you, instead of you correcting yourself, it hurts. Right? So if there's din lamata, that we do din Torah ourselves, right? So it's called we're fixing the world ourselves, we're fixing ourselves. And when you do it yourself, that's liberty. And that feels great. Right? When it has to be done for you, that hurts. It's always that way. So now with this, we're going to get back to the luchos, what the luchos represented. An unbelievable thing. This idea of the reconciliation, or the unity between mankind and divinity, is what the luchos represented. Right? What are luchos? Right? Where do we find the term luchos elsewhere in Tanakh? I believe it's a pasuk in Koheles, I believe, is it? Right? Kosveim al luchos libecha. Inscribe the Torah on the tablets of your heart. Luchos, you know, they're called luchos libecha, the heart. My Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, zichrono livracha, used to say, right, that, right, he used to say that that's the minhag Yisrael, you know, he used to claim, right, minhag Yisrael to draw the luchos like this with a curved top. Right, okay. You don't have luchos here. Right? Everybody sure has luchos, you know. Curved tops. Yeah? Yeah? Even though there's no shita in the medrash that the luchos look like that. There's no shita in the medrash. The Chazal say the luchos were cubes. Cubic. Right? So, I mean, you know, the theory is, you know, the Hamon Am say because they took it from Michelangelo, who in his, you know, paintings made the luchos look like that. That's what, you know, so my Rebbe Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzai Kozroi, so it was terribly against it. Asuli Tchakem Kacha, you can't say these sly svaris, you know, it's Minhag Yisrael Kodesh, it's for many generations, it can be shown. Jews always drew the luchas with these curved tops. Zelev, you say, it's a heart, right? Because Amish understood that the luchas represent the heart, and that, you know, draw with the curves, so, to make it look like a heart, that's why. Kosvei Maluchas Libecha, right? The tablets represent the human heart, right? And you know, vamichtach michtav elokim chorus al aluchos is that you know the words were mamish engraved. Engraved is when the word and the thing that's on are mamish one. It's not superimposed like regular writing. It's engraved, right? It's mamish one. So what a Chazal darshan from that vamichtav elokim chorus al tikre chorut ela chorus. Liberty. Ein lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'Torah. So I said, yeah, no one's free. Because when you are osik in Torah, you are doing a mind meld with the cosmic law. And that means you're totally reconciled with everything that goes on. You don't feel enslaved at all. Enslavement is that there's a different das, there's a different daya, a different imposing its daya upon you. So that life is unfair. You know, God's pushing me around. Right? That's if you don't understand where he's coming from. But if you have his mind in your mind, and you know, and you're totally in sync, and you think alike, right? It's chayrus. It's not shibud, it's chayrus. Because the difference between chayrus and shibud is, do you understand and appreciate it or not? So if you have the Torah in your mind, you're a ben chayrin. Elcha ben chayrin mishosik b'Torah, because you're totally reconciled with the cosmic rule. Right? It's not something pushing you around. It's something inside. You flow with it. You have it in your mind and in your heart. And that's the thing that the luchos represent. The luchos are a separate entity that represented this, you know, the speciality of what Matan Torah was. That Matan Torah wasn't just, you know, to impart information. Matan Torah was a project to put the divine intelligence inside of our intellect. that, you know, the divine rule and the divine law shouldn't be what's around us. It should also be inside of us. And that's what the Dayanim are. And that's what it means, Shechina Shorabi. So that's what it means, Hashras Hashchina. Hashras Hashchina, even though God's everywhere, but he is inside of us. Right, with Matan Torah, because we have his intelligence inside of us. That's Hashras Hashchina, which was created by Matan Torah, and that's what the Dayanim are all about. Right? The Dayanim are all about that that God's light shines in them and through them, right? And that's what's called their Mashar Shechina, and that's why it's called, we're going to be partners in creation, and partners in creation because we're Davek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? To be God-like in order to be close to him. And our closeness to him makes us God-like, right? And that's therefore we're going to now fix the world ourselves. And if Yesh Din Lamata Ain Din Yor Milamali, he doesn't have to correct us. He gave us the gift of correcting ourselves and correcting the world around us. And that's why Dayan Shadan did Emes Lamito Nasa Shutov Lakoshu Basa Bereshis. And in that world, it's a world of Chesed. It's called Din technically, but when you yourself understand the law and mete out the law. Right, you know what's going on. When you know what's going on, it's all chesed. Right? It's din when you don't appreciate it and you're being pushed around. Okay, so now to understand, you know, that, you know, this is shviras haluchos. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, right? He didn't burn the Sefer Torah, right? He broke the luchos. Right? He broke the luchos in response to cheta ego. You understand a little bit of what's going on. Because with the sin of the golden calf, we broke the connection. Right? So there's Torah, and there's us, but it's not the Torah inside of us. That's what got ruined by cheta ego. It's a very interesting medrash in Parshas Yisroel. Right? You know, Am Yisrael said, Na'ase v'nishma. Very interesting. We will do and then we will hear, which everyone asks, how do you do before you hear? Right? But we know that whatever it means, we'll explain in a second, it was, you know, Am Yisrael is called Am Yisrael's greatness, that they said, Na'ase before nishma, like the Malachim, like Gimi Gil Raza Barnai, Shemacharos Mishtam Shibo. We did not, Na'ase before nishma. Right? But there should be some recognition, some, right? Valuchos. Maisa Elokim Hema va Michtav Michtalkim Khasal Luchas were Maisa Elokim. Maisa Elokim, the first Luchas were divine. Right? And you know, now you know the Luchas are Maisa. Maisa Elokim, the Michtav, what's written, those are words. Words are spoken. That's Nishma. Nase and Nishma. Maisa Elokim, Michtav Elokim, Nase and Nishma. Says the Medrash in Parshas Yisro. Right? It tells a story. That, you know, a king sent his bartender to bring him two drinks. He wanted in the mood for two drinks. He poured him two drinks. He's on his way to deliver the drinks to the king, and an eagle, a calf, broke loose, bumped into the bartender. He dropped one glass. Psh, shattered. Right? So he comes to the king, embarrassed. I only have one. He says, you better watch this one. Don't drop this one. I'm like, right? So he says the Medrash, interesting Medrash. Am Yisrael was Moizek Shtei Kosis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Sinai. Na'ase and Nishma. We poured two drinks for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. Na'ase and Nishma. Right? With Cheta Ego, we broke one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shavartem Na'ase. Hizaru B'Nishma. Right? That, you know, with Cheta Ego, it's called we broke Na'ase. We still have Nishma left. So what does that marriage mean? That Yochede calls that we lost the Nase of Nase v'Nishma, Shavartim Nase, Hizaru b'Nishma, and because of that, Bida Kneged Bida, there was Shviras Haluchas, the Luchas which were Maisa Elokim, which never was duplicated because the second Luchas are not Maisa Elokim, it's Psolacha. The Pshat, what?
How do you know which one you broke?
I'm relying on the Medrash. I don't know if they prove us. That, you know, with Chet Ego, we broke Nase. Of Nase of Nishma, we broke Nase. We only have Nishma left.
So only one was broken?
Well, that's right. We broke the cup of Nase. And that's what Shvir Saluchas is connected.
Both tablets are broken. It's like the first set represents Nase.
Right, then we lost Nase. Shvir Saluchas is connected. Shavartem Nase.
Now, right. What does the Medrash say about did Moshe Rabbeinu act properly in breaking the law?
Yes. He actually, even though God didn't tell him, but he was Pishkosh was maskim, Asher Shibarta, Yachar Shekocha, Shibarta. It's called that Moshe Rabbeinu instinctively figured out that God would want Shmiras Aluchas. That's correct. Right, because it's an amazing thing. What gave him the right? He'd say, of course, it was maskim al yodo, that because of shvartim nasa, it has to be shviras haluchas. The first one's being maise elokim. Valuchas maise elokim ema keneged shvartim nasa. Right? The word is like this. It's exactly what we're saying. When Am Yisrael said nasa v'nishma, that what they're saying is, it's guaranteed we're going to do whatever Hashem wants. Right. Generally, it's a game of telephone. Right. You chain of command, and you have to see whether the message is properly received and appreciated, like the game of broken telephone. Right. When they said Nase before Nishma, they're saying as in Sof Maisa, b'machshava tchila. Right. We are pre-committed to doing exactly what you say. And now the hearing is just that we want to appreciate it. But there was like a pre-commitment that whatever you say, we'll get done. You know, nothing will get lost along the way. In that framework, it's called that the body was holy. Just like the luchas were maisa elokim. As even maisa, what we do with our bodies, right, was called maisa elokim. We were in perfect sync with the divine intelligence. Am Yisrael, when he said Nasa v'Nishma, we're in perfect sync with the divine intelligence. It flowed freely from the mouth of God straight to the Gemara Maisa. Nothing got lost. Like we followed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word just as easily as we follow our own whims and desires. Right? Right? That was, and that's why the luchas, which represent the human heart, were Maisa Elokim. It's called that there was an unbroken flow from Dvar Hashem to the Gemar Maisa, Ayidei the Adam, free-flowing, nothing lost. Man followed the word of God like a shadow follows a person. Right? And that was the Madrega of Luchas Rishonas. Right? But now the thing is that we started thinking, as we were thinking for ourselves, when we thought, where's Moshe Rabbeinu? He's expected back. He's not here yet. We started thinking for ourselves. And that was when we broke off from the divine intelligence, making our own cheshbonus. Right, and the Chazal Darshan, and Asher Asal Kim Es Adam Yashar, Vehema Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabin. God made man straight. It's natural for man to, just be straight from whatever God wants to me doing the Gemara Maisa, straight line. But Hema Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabin, but we're looking for all different types of Cheshbonos, right? Making all types of, thinking all types of thoughts that should never be thunk in the first place, right? And we made things needlessly complicated for ourselves, right? And it caused distraction, right? So now, because of those distractions that we generated, distractions and delusions, whatever you want to call it, right? So that's what broke the connection. Now, so it had to be Shviras Luchas. The first Luchas aren't, we're not on that level anymore, that the body naturally follows whatever, from God's word mouth to our Gemara Maisa, with nothing lost in between, we lost that. And that's why it had to be Shvir Silchas. That's called Shavartem Nase. Because things always get lost along the way. I mean, how many things do we actually, L'maisa, in the Gemara Maisa, do? L'fi, the Halacha, the Dikduk, with no Pnius, without any ulterior motives, any mitzvah b'shlemus, very rare. The Rambam writes, one mitzvah b'shlemus could get you Olam Haba. The Rambam says it's very hard, right? And that's why there's 613 different mitzvahs. Maybe you'll get one of them right, one time in your life. Right? It's frightening to do a mitzvah b'shlemus, which includes not just doing it, b'dikduk, right? But also without any ulterior motives. Am Yisrael, by the Luchas Rishonos, it was like as easy as coming from God's orders to final execution, faultless, the way a shadow would follow a person. Right, but we lost that level. And that's why there had to be a Shviras Haluchas, because the connection between man and the Torah has been severed, that the Torah now is external. It's not internalized. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barov Chastav said, contingency plan, because we never got back to that level of Nase v'Nishma. Right? It's still called Shavartem Nase. It's very rare that we, in the final execution of, even if we are halacha observant, it's very rare that we should do the mitzvah b'shlemus exactly as the way God intended it. Right? Things get lost. That's called Shavartem Nase. Right? we, at least Hizaru Benishma, at least we could perhaps understand what we're meant to do, even though it's very rare, right, to come to the day Gemar Maisa, right, as you know, Gemar says in Brachas, Ribor Shom Ritzoneinu Lasa, so really you want to do what you want, although Mi Ma'akiv, who gets in the middle, Sor Shabisa, the Yetzora, Vashiba Malchis, and the Golos, things are Ma'akiv, get in the middle, and the Gemar Maisa doesn't reflect, you know, the Rishis HaMachshava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and maybe the Machshava we can understand, but it's very hard to follow through Lemaisa, right? And that's connected to Maisa, the Maisa Elkim of Luchas, that's what broke, you know, Shavartem Nase. Right? Second Luchas, the Luchas are earthly. It's never going to be, it's not made out of divine stuff. The Luchas are stones from earth, right? But still, Psolucha, you know what? You could chisel away at that piece of stone and carve it into a tablet. So even though it's not going to be Maisel Okim, but Fort, it could be something, you know, something that could, you know, carry it a little bit. So this is what it says in the Sefer Yetzirah. We're coming full circle now, right? What it says in the Sefer Yetzirah, right, on the in the Mazel of the month of Elul, right? Elul. And I saw in the Ishbitzah, he says, Elul Miloshin Alya, tail. Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, head, right? But this is like the, you know, furthest month away from Tishrei. Oh, it's the 12th month, right? Right. So it's the Aliyah, it's the tail, right? Tishrei is the Rosh. This is the Aliyah, right? This is the tail. Right? We're really, really holding at the lowest level, right? Furthest away, right? Now, you know, reconcile yourself with our situation, but Psolecha, carve at yourself. So says the Sefer Yetzirah, Himlich os yud b'masa. What reigns in this month is the letter yud in Maisa. Right? And then it's, you know, and it's the, you know, and it's the left hand, yad smol, right? And the mazel of Besula, the Virgo. Right? These are the kochos of the month of Elul. Explains the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitza like this. We really, really are at the bottom, which is the furthest away from the head, right? Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. We're at Elul, we're at the Aliyah, we're at the tail, right? Besula means like a virgin, sealed, right? Like when Mama's sealed, you know, we're unpenetrated, right? Right, Mama's dense, right? Right, Yad Smol, right? Most people are righties, right? Yad Smol represents, you know, this is the hand that, you know, most people are righties, you know, so the left hand is what, you know, lags behind. It's the less strong hand, and things like writing or things that require intelligence or intricate, you do with your right hand. So it's Yad Smol Benefesh, says the Sefer Yetzirah. We're mamish holding, you know, mamish, bottom end, furthest away. But he says like this, just like, where do you put your tefillin? Right? On your left arm, dafka, right? Because tefillin is, you know, kabbal so much time that we have to try to pull that lowliness in. And that's why the tefillin dafka goes on the left hand, right? And it's by, interestingly enough, the left hand is closer to the heart, right? That we have to find a connection with, to connect our, pull our lowliness in. Turn that heart of stone into tablets. And that's Ois Yud. The letter Yud represents Machshava, intellect. Where do we know that from? Rashi. On the words Oz Yashir Moshe, Rashi's Bar Bar Question, say Oz Shar Moshe. We're talking about an event that happened 3,000 years ago. So says Rashi, no, it means Ola Blibo Lashir. Yeah, he first thought about it and then he sang Hayud Al Shema Machshava. The Yud, that makes you know, means he thought about it. Yud is Al Shema Machshava. Os Himlich Os Yud B'maisa. Our level of maisa is so lowly. It's almost like a maisa behema, right? That what we do and what the animal does, as if our actions are animalistic, we have to find a way to put a little bit of chachma, a little bit of intellect, a little bit of machshava into it. Even though it's not going to be the same like Luchos Rishonos, but we could at least chip away at it to make that heart of stone into tablets. That, you know, could we can engrave Dvar Hashem on, even though it's not going to be Maisel Okim, but for to make a heart of stone into tablets. That being so far away, to try to draw it in a little bit. Draw it in a little bit. Right? And that's what it means. Himlich Os Yud B'maisa, it's a little bit of a tikkun for Shavartem Nase, the Psol Lecha, that maisa of making luchos is like, okay, the madrega of maisa elokim you lost. Now you do a maisa to fix yourself a little bit, to elevate yourself a little bit. Now think about this. Originally it was top down. The words came from God in heaven, and it came down, it got internalized in us. Now we're going bottom up. You fix yourself up a little bit. Fix yourself up a little bit and raise yourself up to me. I'll meet you halfway. So Akharu says, psolachash, carve at the stones. Make the stone, which represents art, make a tablets out of it. You know? Chip away at it a little bit. Fix yourselves a little bit. The first time around, the Torah came from heaven and just fixed us. Said next, this time around, we've got to go bottom up. Psolacha. The luchas come from earth, but chip away at it. Chip away, you know, refine yourself a little bit, right? Put a little bit of machshava into your maisa, a little bit of refinement. And therefore, you know, the first time around, it started from Matan Torah and it ended with the shof, with Mishpatim, right? God revealed his word got absorbed, and the judges, and the judges emerged as an actor, as a result of the internalization of the light of Torah. Here it has to go the other way around. We have to now refine ourselves a little bit, and if, you know, to the extent that we try refining ourselves, God will reveal himself to us. And that's why Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sharecha, says the Tzar, that, you know, it's not just, you know, the setting up the system of government on earth, which is, you know, by the way, government on earth is Hashruas HaShechina. And that's the inyan of Eretz Yisrael, where the Shechina is revealed, where the government of God is revealed and internalized. That's why we've got to get it back to Chazal, that B'schus the Dayonim, we're Yoresh the Oretz. It's all about bringing the Shechina out, internalizing the Shechina, which is the inyan of Eretz Yisrael. The Shechina is internalized in the land of Israel. It's not internalized in Chutz La'aretz, even though the Shechina is technically everywhere. So B'schus the Dayonim, you're Yoresh the Oretz. But over here, it's Shotzar Titein Lecha. You're going to start with yourself. By the first time around, it was top down. God revealed the Torah, and the Dayonim emerged because the aura of Torah got internalized within the people. Now it's going to be Psolecha, right? You're going to start with yourself. Shofti Shofti Titen Lecha says the Zohar and the Sifrei Chassidus in this week's parsha all say this, that there's also internal government. Internal government, right? You have to have your own Shofet V'Shoter Titen Lecha inside you. Right, you actually have a conscience. A shofet is a conscience, and shoter is discipline. Just like, you know, in the city, right? You know, the Tanya, Sefer Tanya, is also built on this idea that a man is an ir katana, a man is a city. A man has to view himself like a city, and all his different talents, like the different forces, you know, in the town. You have to have self-government, right? Shoftim shotim titen lecha. In you, and this is in the Zohar, in b'chol sharecha, b'chol shi'urin deliba, and all the gateways of the heart, all the different talents that come at the heart, you should try to build yourself a conscience, a shofet, and a shoter, and some discipline. And that's all implicit in the psolecha, right? Chipping away at the heart of stone, making the stone into tablets. A little bit of self-refination, a little bit of self-refinement. And in response to the extent that you try to refine yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now v'chasafti aluchas. He'll give you divrei Torah, but you have to refine. Psolecha, right? Refine yourself. Carve away at yourself first. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. It's not going to be the shoftim are not going to be as a result of Matan Torah. They're going to be a prerequisite to get Torah. Discipline yourself. Develop a sense of conscience, right? You know, make for yourself a conscience and some discipline, and then v'chasafti al aluchas. And now we can understand why it took 40 days and 40 nights. Not for Moshe Rabbeinu to learn the Torah again. He learned it already the first time. The 40 days is for us. The 40 days is the process that we are called. Moshe Rabbeinu, he did it all in one day. But the Goyen says that psolecha is the end of the whole month of Elul, chipping away at the heart of stone. And part of the chipping away is to build our sense of conscience and a sense of discipline. And in response to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to v'chasafti al aluchas. And that's the difference. And that's the, you know, on Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the second luchas, you know, tablets and the writing, right? The shift of when we go from tablet building, constructing tablets, to having writing on the tablets, that shift happens on Tishrei. Right? What happens in Tishrei? It opens up with being Mamlech, coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, re-accepting him as our king. Right? That's already begins the writing on the tablets. But the 30 days of Elul is all about building the tablets. Building the tablets. tablets for God to write on. Right? But during the 10 days of Tishrei is the V'chasafti al aluchas, because we accept Dvar Hashem, we accept His word as law. So that's already the process of V'chasafti al aluchas, and that ksiva is finalized on Yom Kippur. And with this, you can understand the remez of the Bala Turim. Uma Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve'es levav. Es levavcha ve'es levav, Rosh Tevis Elul. Elul is about building the heart, chipping away at the stone and making stone into tablets, making our heart of stone. It's going to stay stone because we still have a Yetzirah inside of us, but to turn the stone into tablets that could be Mekabel, that could be Mekabel Dvar Hashem, that's the Avar Avil, build the heart. Turn the stone into tablets, and the transition that we have on Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, we're being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we start the divine intelligences revealed, and those 10 days from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the V'chasafti al Aluchas. But during Elul, right, is the building of the Luchas, we should help, we should build our conscience, right, and that's why it opens up with the parasha of Shoftim and Shotrim, Titen Lecha, it's internal, you know, not just addressing the nation on earth, but also the individual, earthly individual, build for yourself in these 30 days a conscience and a sense of discipline, and since obviously it's it's all about being Mekabel, Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to make everyone aware, you know, we mechazik ourselves, not to go chas v'shalom terakos to secular court. Din Torah is, you know, that is the law of God, and that is the cosmic law, and if yesh din lamata, ain't din yor milamala, we want to make sure that this year coming about will be a year of chasar, but not a year of dinim, so you have to make sure there's din lamata. I want to remind everyone, there is a beis din in town. Do not take your disputes to secular court. I have a beis din that operates free of charge, services the entirety of Long Island. So please, let's be mischazik in any of not chas v'shalom going to our coast, which is called Meir Miyam B'Torah Samosha, right? But do everything I'll pee din Torah. Okay, thank you very much. Farakway. Oh, thank you very much.